Okay, we're beginning here with the two dots on the top of Samach Gimel and Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elozer, Kol Adam She'en Lo Isha, Eino Adam. Any individual who doesn't have a wife is not really a person. Shenemar, Zacharu Nikeva Bira'am, Vayikrat Shemam Adam. So you see, only when there's a Zachar and Nikeva together are they called Adam. So a person is really only whole when they have their two parts together, the two parts being a male and a female. And when they create a union together, that's what makes the whole of the individual. And therefore, they're only called Adam, a person, once they have Zachar Unikeva. Ve'amar Rabbi Elazar. And now we're going to have numerous memorot from Rabbi Elazar. Kol Adam Shein Lo Karka Eino Adam. Any individual who doesn't own land is not called a person. Shenemar. Hashemayim Shamayim LaHashem. Va'aretz Natan Livnei Adam. The heavens belong to Hashem, but the earth was given to man. And if Hashem granted earth to man, then Livnei Adam, people are called Adam when they own land. Keep that in mind, because Rabbi Elazar is going to say something later on which is going to seemingly contradict this statement, and we'll have to reconcile between the two of them. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, my dichtiv, what is meant in the pasuk, eselo ezer kenegdo, that I will make for him an ezer, which means someone who's helpful, kenegdo, opposite him. Now, either you don't need the word negdo at all, it just could have said eselo ezer, or you don't need the kaf there. It could be eselo ezer negdo. What's kinegdo? So for either one of those reasons, he is doresh the pasuk and says, zacha ozarto. If he's zocha to a good wife, and his behavior is appropriate, ozarto, then his wife is an aid, helps him out, helps to do something in unity. Lo zacha, if he's not zocha, kinegdo, then she is in opposition to him, he is not in agreement with him, and they will work against each other. Viga damre, Rabbi Elazar Ramiktiv. It says in the pasuk, kinagdo, meaning the way that it's spelled, it doesn't have a yud in there, so you would have pronounced it kinagdo. Vikarinon, but the way that we do pronounce it is kinegdo. Zacha, kinegdo. If he's socheh, then she is kinegdo. She is opposite him, not here in the negative sense, but rather, she is together with him, in unity with him. Lo zacha, if he's not zocheh, minagato. Then she, nigud or nagad in Aramaic means to get lashes. That she oppresses him, makes his life difficult, in a sense gives him malkot. Ashkechei Rabbi Yossi Le'elio, Armalei Ktiv, Eseh Lo Ezer. It says that Hashem will make a woman an Ezer, a help or a promoter of what the couple does in unity. B'meh Isha Ozerto Le'Adam. Yossi says, how does a woman help out an individual? Armalei Adam Mevichitim. A person, a man, brings in from the field the wheat kernels. Chitim Koseis. Does he eat the wheat kernels? Koseis is to eat anything in its raw state. Does he chew on the wheat kernels? Pishtan, when it comes to flax. Pishtan lovesh, he brings in the flax from the field. Does he wear the pishtan? Lo, nimtzeit mi'ira inav, umamidato raglav. Doesn't he find in that the wife opens his eyes and lightens his eyes and puts him on his feet? Meaning that she does the processing of the gross items that he brings in from the field. So the man takes care of bringing the macro or gross items back to the home, but the woman takes the shaping of them and the processing of them to make them into something that is useful and helpful. The woman's able to deal with the micro of the processing and taking care of all that which is produced by the macro, by the man. Now, the point of this is that not just that the woman does this and helps out the man, but it also is that she facilitates the ability for the individual to learn Torah and for the man to accomplish certain things. That facilitation is at the Ezer Kenegdo, that they're actually working together towards a common goal. And that's what meant by the answer here of Eliyahu to Rabbi Yossi. V'yomer Rabbi Elazar, my dichtit. What is meant in the pasuk, zot apam, etzim me'atzamai u'basar mi'bsari. He says about the woman, at this time, that is a bone from my bones, flesh from my flesh. Melameid, sheba adam alcho behema v'chaya, that man tried to mate with all the animals that were there, v'lo nitkarra dato ad sheba al chava. And he didn't find someone that was satisfying to him, he didn't find a partner, until Chava was created. And that's learned out from Zotapam, this time, implying that there were other times that this took place. Whether that's literally or figuratively, nevertheless, he did not find satisfaction until he had a woman, until he had a wife. Va'amar Rabbi Lozar, may dichtiv nivrechu becha komish bechot adama, the bracha that's given to Abraham, that all the nations of the world will receive bracha through you. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'Abraham, shtei brachot tovot yeshi l'avrich becha. There are two beautiful or good brachot that I'm going to be mavrich from you. Now, havracha is a terminology that's used in the agricultural side, and it means to take a existing tree or vine, and then to take one of the branches, plant it into the ground, and bring it up somewhere else, and then eventually that branch comes up and grows into something of its own. So that's what the Gemara is saying here, that I have two brachotavot, actually the havrich becha. There are two beautiful brachot that are going to come out from offshoots of you, and that is Ruta Moavia, V'na'ama ha'amonit. That is Ruth, who is the matriarch of the Davidic line, in Na'ama ha'amonit, to marry Shlomo Melech, and whose son is Rechavam. And out of her came some of the good kings of the Davidic line, Chizkiah, Asa, Yehoshaphat. So they, both of these individuals were offshoots of Abraham, but they came in to do something great within Kali Yisrael. That's what it means. V'nivrechu becha kol mishpichot adama. There will be families from outside, not just those in Klal Yisrael, not just your descendants, that will also have bracha that comes from you. So these offshoots that come from you will then come back and be a bracha and be a part of Klal Yisrael. As a continuation of that, or a summary of that statement, it says, Afilu mishpechot adarot ba'adama. Even the families that live out in the heatherlands, ein mitbrachot l'shvil Yisrael, they only get a bracha because of Klal Yisrael. I mean, the bracha comes to Klal Yisrael, and then as a derivative of the bracha to Klal Yisrael, all those other individuals get a bracha, and that's what it means, v'nivruchu b'cha, kol mishpechot ha'adama, all the mishpechot ha'adama. Then the Gemara continues and says, kol goyei ha'aretz, it says that all the nations of the world will get a bracha through you, afilu svinot about migalyo laspamyo, even those boats that come from what seems as Gaul to Aspamia to Spain. Gaul is, in that time, probably the area of France. So even areas that are not directly surrounding or attached to Klal Yisrael, but are far out, they also will get a brocha because of Klal Yisrael. And that comes from the word kol. Kol goyei haaretz. Not just the goyei haaretz that surround you, but kol. The entire world will receive brocha because of Klal Yisrael. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, adinim kol bali umniyot shamdu al hakarka. In the future, all professions will move on to the land. Shenemar, because it says in the pasuk in Yechezkel, v'yardu mi'aniyotehem, they will descend, come down from their ships. Kol topsei mashot, all those that hold or grasp the oars. Milachim, the mariners. Kol chovle ayam, the pilots of the sea. El ha'aretz yamodu, they will come onto the land and will become land people. Va'amar lecham, and in a sense, it is also the idea that even though these individuals were seafarers, still the bracha came from Klal Yisrael. So even though they're not on the land all the time, they're only there some of the time, nevertheless, Kol Goyei Haaretz tells you that even if they're there only a part of the time, or in the future that they will be on the land, these seafarers nevertheless get their bracha through Klal Yisrael. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, ein lecha umanut pruta min hakarka. As I said to you earlier, remember what Rabbi Elazar said, that an Adam is not called an Adam unless he owns land. Here we have a statement from Belazar, "En lecha umanut pchuta min hakarka." There is no more lowly profession than working the land. Shenemar v'yardu, because it says they will go down. Meaning that there is a decline or a descent from those that were seafarers now to become onto the land. So Rabbi Elazar chazi l'haya aro, deshadi bei krava l'putia. He saw this land that was planted with cabbage to its width. Amalei dashdai l'urkech. Even if they change the way they plant this and they plant it to its length instead of its width, hafuchei b'iska tav minach. Getting involved in business is better than this. So it's clear here that Rabbi Elazar sees commerce and trade as being something better than working the land. Rav al de beni shible. Rav was walking between the stalks. Chazuno de ganaifun. He saw that they were ruffling in the wind. Amar lahu, inaift itenufe. Even if you blow and sway and make noise all day long, getting involved in transactions, in commerce, is better than being involved in the land. Amar Rava, Rava says here, you invest 100 zuz in business, or in commerce, or in trade, every day you'll have meat and wine to eat. Me'azuze ba'ara, you invest 100 zuz in land, milcha v'chafura, you'll end up with salt, and here vegetation, or here it seems to be like pure mature green vegetation. V'lo od, and not only that, el meganyu le'ara, you end up having to sleep on the ground, whether that's because of your poverty, you have to sleep on the ground, or because you have to watch the fields, you have to sleep on the ground. Umramule tigre, and it brings up quarrels. And again, is that because of the poverty in the house? Therefore, there is quarrels in the house about the lack of parnosa. Or tigre means with the neighbors, because of the land, you'll have incidents and quarrels with the neighbors because of the land that is adjacent to you. Omar Rapapa says, zra velo tizbein, plant your own, velo tizbein, and don't buy. So plant your own food and don't buy it. Afagav di hadodin, you know, even though in the end, they're all the same. Hani mevarchan. The bracha is sharui on that which you plant, that you personally put into the ground, versus that which you purchase from the shuk, zabin velo tezul. Here Rashi translates it as, sell your possessions before you become impoverished. Tosafot, on the other hand, takes up the girsa of the Rabbeinu Hananel as well as the Aruch, and says that means zabin velo tezul. You should purchase items and not weave them. But hani mile bistarke. That is true about Rashi over here brings tapist, I don't know if that's from tapestries, but that's to do with household items, like the sheets and the pillows and things like that. Of a glima, when it comes to your cloak, lo mitramile, you may not find those types of items. You might not find something that fits properly. You can't go to a standard size. You have to get something that fits properly. So there, you're going to have to make it on your own. On the other hand, where it comes to standard items, you should buy them and have someone else weave them because it's more efficient. And it's more cost effective to purchase than rather than to weave. Alright, so now I'm going to go back to that question that we posed before with regards to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says you have to own land because you're not called an Adam unless you own land. Then over here he says there's no more lowly profession than working the land. So here the balance that Tosafot strikes between them and says is it's clear there's a stira, but he says that Rabbi Elazar's advice is that you should own land enough, first of all, to build your own house on it. Number two is you should own enough land to be self-sufficient in supplying yourself with whatever food you need. And we saw that here about from Rapapa that it's better to plant your own than to buy. So you should have sufficient to make sure that you can sustain yourself, be self-sufficient in terms of your food needs. But then beyond that, if you're going to go into business or you're going to invest in something to make more money, then your investment should go towards business and not into more land. You shouldn't make farming a business proposition. You should make farming as your basic livelihood and where you build your house. That's what you need the land for, but not to make it into a profitable entity that makes you money beyond your basic needs. And so therefore, you should go out and use that excess money, invest it in business, because that's much more effective than investing it in land or in farming. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that Rabbi Elazar is talking about in the future, that at this time and point in time, people think that owning more land and having more and more is valuable. And what Rabbi Elazar is indicating is that in the future, like we saw with the seafarers, they're going to come onto the dry land, but that everybody is going to be satisfied with the small lot or the small plot that they have. And people will be mistamik b'muat instead of searching for more and more. And that's what he's saying here, that even though people today think that more and more and more land is greater, there'll be a time where people will be satisfied just with their basic needs and their basic land. It's a very similar play to what we saw in the Tosafot, but here it's talking about something in the future where people will be mistabik muat, and therefore they will only need a small portion of land. Now the Gemara continues, Tom velotishapetz. Persian should do small fixes and plug up things so that you don't need to do a major renovation. Shapots, better to do a small renovation, velo tivne, not to build from scratch. Shekolo seik b'minyan mitmaskein, because anybody who builds from scratch ends up becoming impoverished. Because it's more efficient to protect what you have and to keep it functional than it is to have to take the whole thing down and start from scratch. So better to work with whatever is in hand rather than try to start from scratch. Kfots, zabin arva, go ahead, jump and buy land quickly. If you find something that is appealing or something that is seemingly a bargain, you should jump on it right away and purchase it before someone else does. Miton nasivitata. On the other hand, you should be relaxed and take your time when it comes to marrying a woman so that you get the right woman. I mean, taking a wife is not something like buying a field. Buying a field, you can jump and make the decision quickly so nobody else grabs it. With a woman, you need to put in a lot of investment and time to make sure that you get the right woman. Nachid darga nosivitita. You should take a step down and marry a woman, meaning that you should marry a woman who is beneath your status in society. Sakdarga barcha shushbina. On the other hand, you should take a step up when it comes to picking your best man, or basically picking a friend. So the idea is that when you pick a friend, you should take a step up because you want that individual to be a mentor of sorts, someone that you look up to, and that you rise to them. On the other hand, when it comes to a woman, it's better to take a woman who is of lower stature and not a woman of higher stature because, as Rashi talks over here, if you take a woman of higher stature, then she's going to browbeat or basically be unwilling to accept the husband's leadership within the family because she always will think that she's bigger or better. That's one. And number two is it will also cause him to have to expend large amounts of money and investment in the woman who's used to a much fancier and nicer lifestyle, and then he is either unable to do that because of his status, or it will cause him to have to work much harder in order to maintain the lifestyle that this woman is accustomed to. So it's better to take a step down and marry a woman who's slightly beneath your status, because then, first of all, she'll accept the man as the leader of the house, but she'll also not make demands on the man that are beyond his capabilities or his means. On the other hand, again, with friends, it's more important to have somebody to look up to and have a mentor because you want the person to encourage you to do more rather than to do less. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Avina, as here you see on the side that the Ein Mishpat notes that in the Alkut there is no bar Avina, and then it would make a lot of sense because then it would be a never memra of Rabbi Elazar, which we're bringing all of his memra over here. So Amar Rabbi Elazar in Pornanut Bali Olam Elo Bishvel Yisrael. Not only does bracha come to the whole world because of Yisrael, which we saw in the Agadah Tot before, but also puranut. Even bad things or difficult things come to the world because of Klal Yisrael, Shenemar, because it says in the end of Tzvanya, Hichrati goyim nashamu pinotam. I have cut off nations, destroyed their corners, Hichravti chutzotam, and laid waste to their courtyards. Uchtiv, and then the subsequent pasuk says, Amarti ach tiri oti tichi musar. They should just fear me and take a lesson from this. So you see that the destruction that is wrought on others is all to teach Bnei Yisrael that they should improve their ways or be better. So Hashem gives Musar to Klal Yisrael, or bad things happen to other nations because of Klal Yisrael. And so you see that this is a two-sided coin. Not only do good things happen to the other nations because of Klal Yisrael, but also bad things happen to other nations because of Klal Yisrael. Rav have a miftar mi Rabbi Chiya. Rav, who was the nephew of Rabbi Chiya, the Gemara in Pesachim discusses his relationship with Rabbi Chiya. He was related to Rabbi Chiya both through his mother and his father. He was an uncle from both sides, and he was also his Rebbe. So when Rav was leaving Rabbi Chiya, Amar Lei, Rachmana Litzlach Mimide Dekasha Mimota, that Hashem should save you from something that is worse than death. So that was the brocha that Rabbi Chiya gave to Rav. Umi Ika Mide Dekasha Mimota. Is there something that is really worse than death? So Nafok Dok Vashkach. He went out and he found the pasuk. It says in Kohelet, Umotze ani marmi mavet et isha. I find a woman or a wife to be more bitter than death. So now Rav says, oh, now I know what it is. Now the question is, why did Rav focus on this? There are many things that are described as being worse than death. Why did Rav focus on this issue? We're going to see in a second that that was something that Rabbi Chiya was dealing with. And maybe the bracha that Rabbi Chiya was giving to Rav was that you should be better, or things should be different for you. And therefore, what Rav was trying to glean from his Rebbe is, what is this form of bracha that he's saying that you should be saved from something worse than death, something that Rabbi Chiya was trying to convey to Rav. And sure enough, it was about a wife. Now, Rav obviously did not succeed so well in this, and he ends up in a very similar predicament, which is, Rav hava kemitzari lei debitu, Rav's wife made his life very difficult. When he used to ask her to make him lentils, Avdalei chimtze, instead she used to make him some other form of legume, chimtze. When he asked for chimtze, Avdalei tlofachei, she would make him lentils. So whatever he wanted, she would do just the opposite to cause him difficulty. Kigaldo Chiya Berei. So when Rav's son Chiya grew up, Rav named his son Chiya after, or in honor of his uncle Rabbi Chiya, who was his Rebbe. Apichla, he got smart, and he said, whatever my father asked me for, he conveyed it to his mother. So when his father asked for lentils, instead of telling his mother his father wanted lentils, he wants legumes. And then sure enough, he ended up with lentils. Amarlei, so Rav says to his son, Yaldi Olach Imach, your mother's really improved. She's got much better now. She is really doing what I'm asking her instead of just the opposite. No, the truth is that I'm the one flipping the message, and that's why things are working out. This is the common colloquialism that the nafik minach tamam alfach, that those that come out of you, your children, teach you new things or they make you wiser. So here his son was teaching him what he should have done all along. But then Rav says to his son, At lo tavid hochi, you should not do this, shenemar, because the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu that limdu lishonam daber sheker, because they have taught their tongues to speak untruths. Haven il'u, and they chase after inequity. So you see here that the pasuk says that there's a problem even from just learning to speak sheker. If a person teaches themselves or trains themselves to say something wrong, that's a problem. I've mentioned this in the past, that the Rabbeinu Yonah on the Masechet Avot says this, that even in a joking manner, or even in a light way, a person should not lie at all, because once a person begins to lie, then it just builds on top of that. One little lie will lead to much bigger lies, and even if that's a joke, later on it becomes serious. So a person should always be training themselves to speak the truth and tell the truth. And that's what he says to his son, you should speak the truth, you shouldn't speak lies. Now, even though we find other places that a person's allowed to lie, mipnei shalom, for peace, or in order to bring peace between a husband and wife, a person is allowed to lie. So over here, maybe Chia, the son of Rab, was doing the right thing. He was lying in order to bring peace between his father and his mother. Although when he told his father already that he was doing that, it didn't help as much. But why wasn't he allowed to do it? It might be because it could have been accomplished in a different way, which first of all, Rav could do that. He could have flipped the message and he would have gotten what he wanted anyway. So better that Rav does it than the son teaches himself to lie. That's number one. Or number two is maybe there was a different way to placate his mother or Rav's wife in order to solve the problem. And therefore lying wasn't the best solution over here. Now here is why Rav was looking for this answer, is because Rabbi Chiya HaKametzar laid the bitul. Rabbi Chiya had also a very difficult wife. And that's why when Rav got the bracha, he thought of it as the pasuk that says that Marmi Movet is Aisha because of Rabbi Chiya's experience. Kava Mashkoch Midei. Nevertheless, when he used to find something that was of value or something that his wife would enjoy, Tzairle Besudarei used to put it into his turban, Umaitani Allah, and then bring it home to her. Amarle Rav, Hakam Tzairle the Mar. Rav says, I don't understand why you're bringing her these gifts and taking care of her when she makes your life so difficult. Amarle, he says back to him, Dayenu Shemekadot Banenu, they do enough. What enough is that they bring up our children, Umatzilot Otanu Menachet, and they save us from sin, in that we don't have our eyes wandering and go off with other women because of our wives. So those two things that they do is enough. They have a big enough job with that, and that's enough. We should just be thankful that they do that. They do more, even better. So despite the fact that she makes my life very difficult, she still does these very basic things that are necessities and make a huge difference in my life. So Makrile Rav Yehuda the Rav Yitzchak Rei. Rav Yehuda was teaching his son Rav Yitzchak, Umotze ani mar mimavet aisha. Find a woman more bitter than death. Amaleku goman. His son Rav Yitzchak asked his father Rav Yehuda, like who? Says go nimcha, like your mother. Vaha matnile Rav Yehuda the Rav Yitzchak Rei. Don't we have another instance in where Rav Yehuda was teaching his son Rav Yitzchak, en adam motze korat ruach ela miishto rishona? Person only finds satisfaction and real joy meishto rishona, from his first wife. Shenemar, hi mikorcha baruch, usmach meishet nurecha. Your source should be blessed. The Gemara uses the term mikor also to refer to a uterus. Usmach meishet nurecha, and be happy with the woman of your youth. Vamalei kigoman. And again, his son asked him, like whom? Kogonimcha. And again, Rav Yehuda answered like his mother. So you have a stira here. One case he's saying that the wife is worse than death. And then over here he's saying that whom gives you the greatest satisfaction? He's saying your mother, who is my ancient Nurim. So how do we reconcile that? The Gemara says, Matkif Tkifa. She was a very strong-willed woman. She got angry easily. But Abure Ma'abra B'Milo. But she was also placated easily, and she was able to forgive. So even though she was difficult, she was easily placated, and because of that, it made it possible for him to deal with the stronger side of his wife. Heki dami isha ra'a. So what is a bad wife that's being described here? Amar Abaye mikashta le'taka. She sets the table and has him for dinner. Umikashta le'puma. And then she comes to the table, and then she badmouths her husband or curses him in front of the children, and everybody's at the table. Rav Amar mikashta le'taka. She sets the table. And then she turns her back on him. She sets the table with all the food and then turns her back as if she doesn't want to be with him, doesn't want his company. So that's a bad wife, according to Abaye and Rava. Amar Rami Chama Bar Chanina, Kevin Shenasa Adam Isha, Avunutav Mitpakakim. Once a man marries a woman, his sins are Mitpakakim. So here it's not clear what the word means. Some say Mitpakakim means that they are removed, they are gone. And some say that Mitpakakim means that they are put aside, they are suspended for now. Shenemar, Matza Isha, Matza Tov. Person who finds a woman finds good. V'yafpeg Ratzon Me'Hashem. And he will be granted favor from Hashem. So they're dashing the word v'yapek over here to mean pekak. Pekak means put a plug. So the plug here stops the sins. How it stops the sins is questionable. Either is a person forgiven for all his sins when he gets married, as if he begins a new life at the point that he gets married, or is it that once he gets married, all that he did before is suspended and he begins a new life. And then if he does good afterwards, then all those things will go away. If he continues in his bad ways, then all that was held in abeyance from before will then be brought back to cause him problems. So, but either way, this is the source for the fact that when a person gets married, his sins are either forgiven or suspended. It comes from this Gemara right here. And the concept being that when a person gets married, there's a beginning of a new life. Before there was a life of the individual. Now there's the life of the couple, and the couple has a unity and a union begin a life that now is going to create a new person. New person both in the sense of their children that are produced from them, but also in the sense of their working as a partnership going forward. And because they're as if they're born again or a new life, therefore, Avonotav are Nimchalim because he's a new person. It's as if he's not the person before. And we see that in the Gemara and Yoma with regards to Tshuva. And the Rambam codifies this in Hilchot Tshuva, that when a person wants to do Tshuva, the person is a totally new person. They aren't the person they were yesterday. Same thing is true when a person gets married. B'marova is the Gemara that's found in the beginning of Brachot as well. Marova in Eretz Yisrael. Kinasivinish itita. When a man marries a woman, Amar Lehochi, they used to ask him this after he married the woman. They get to the Sheva Brachos, they asked him, Matzah? O Motzah? Is she a find? Or is she a find? What's the difference? Matzah, Dichtiv Matzah Isha Matzah Tov. Matzah is a reference to the Pasuk in Mishlei that says, person who finds a wife or a woman found goodness. V'yapek Ratzom Yet Hashem. O Motzah is Dichtiv Motzah Ani Mimar Mimavet Et Aisha. Is the reference to the Pasuk in Kohelet that says that I find a woman more bitter than death. So the basic question of those in the Marova was, Matzah Motzeh. Is she a good one or is she not a good one? Did you get a good wife? And that's the question here of Matzah or Motzeh. There is something deeper to this. And the Gra notes that there is a difference in the Lashon that is used over here. Which is that when it comes to Matzah Yisha, Matzah Tov, it's written in the past tense. Matzah. Whereas when it says Motzeh Ani Marmi Mavet Aisha, it's written in the present tense. And this really speaks to a psychological phenomenon which is very true. And it's true not only in marriage or with a wife, it's true in anything in life. And that is that when good things happen to people, then they're matzah, which is that it happens in the past. It happens, the person enjoys it, and then they put it behind them. When something bad or difficult happens with a person, or they live with something that's difficult, then they have it negde einayim all the time. They face it and they deal with it all the time. So even though someone has something great, they can't even recognize it. They take it for granted at this point in time because it happened already, and now they have this great thing, and it's ongoing and ongoing. They just take it for granted that's the way it should be. Yet when something goes wrong or something's difficult, they look at that as being there all the time. And that's the difference in Lashon. Matzah Isha, Matzah Tov, a person gets a wonderful or beautiful wife, then he takes that for granted. After he's married her, he takes it for granted the rest of his life. It's like, oh yeah, that happened in the past. Motzeh Ani Isha Marmi Mavet is when in the present tense, meaning that when he finds something difficult or there's a difficulty in the marriage, that stays there all the time. It's not just, okay, I'll put that in the past as well and we'll live with it. No, that's something that bothers him and stays with him all the time. It's true in anything in life. It's all especially true in marriage. And the bracha that I always give to couples at Sheva Bracha is exactly this, that their life should be infused not of Matzah Isha, Matzah Tov. It should not just be that when they find the goodness in each other and that the wonderful qualities that bring them together to get married should not be something that's in the past and they take for granted, but rather it should be a motzei, something that's continuously there, something that they continuously recognize and don't take for granted. And that way they keep the good fresh, and by keeping the good fresh, that pushes away or mitigates anything bad that happens because the good is always present. It's not something that we take for granted. It's something that is a continuous part of the life, not just the bad or the difficult times that are motzei, that are in the present tense. Ve'omarova isharaa, a woman who is not a good wife, uktubata merubah. On the other hand, she has a huge ktubah. So divorce is out of the question, because if he divorces the woman, the cost of divorcing the woman is so great that it's prohibitive, and therefore he can't divorce her. Tzarata b'tzida. The only solution to the problem, the way that Tosfot formulates it, is Rova the Tamei, that says Nosei Adam Kama Nashim Al Ishto, is to marry another woman. That the way to solve the problem, or to have this woman stop being such a bad woman, is to marry another woman. That's the way that Tosafot formulates it. Other Rishonim formulate it as that the threat of marrying another woman is enough. Da'amar Inche, Bechaverta, V'lo B'silta. If one wants to cause difficulty, discomfort to the woman, it's in the competition of another wife, and not with a needle or a thorn. I mean that it's not the physical pain, it's the pain of a competition with another wife. And so the way to rectify the situation where he's trapped is to bring a competitor into the situation, to either have her rectify her ways, or for this husband to have another outlet with the woman that is more amiable. Amarova, Isha Ra'ah, Mitzvah L'Gorsha. A bad wife or a bad woman, it's a mitzvah to divorce her. Dichtiv, Garesh Leitz. One should chase away the scorner, V'yetze Madon, and then get rid of contention, Vishbot Din Vikalon, and that will silence the strife and the reproach. So you get rid of the problem, and that takes down the level of quarreling, and takes down the level of difficulty in the household. V'amarova, Kasha Yishara Ak Yom Sagrir, a bad wife or a bad woman is as bad as a stormy day. And the way Rashi describes Yom Sagrir is a day that has hail and wind that is associated with Shenemar Delef Toreid, a continuous drip Yom Sagrir from a stormy day, Ve'eshet Midyanim, which is the equivalent of Madon, a woman of contentiousness, Nishtava, are of equal problem. So just like the drip on a stormy day, a continuous drip on a stormy day, so too is a quarrelsome or difficult woman. And that's what Rava is saying over here, that there's this equation between the stormy day and the difficult woman. See how great a good wife or a good woman is, and see how bad a bad wife or a bad woman is. Kama tova isha tova. How do we see how great a good woman is? Dichtiv matza isha matza tov. The Pasuk in Qehelet says, if he finds a good woman, he's found goodness. If the pasuk is speaking about a literally a woman, kama tova isha tova. That's what the pasuk is saying. How great is a great woman? Shakatuv mishabcha. Then the pasuk is praising her. If it's only a parable and the pasuk is really describing the Torah mishtai kro, it's talking about Torah. Kama tova isha tova. How great is a good woman? Shatora nimshalaba. That the Torah is compared to a good woman. Kama ra'a isha ra'a. How bad is a difficult woman or wife? Dichtiv, v'motze ani marmi mavet isha. Pasuk in Mishlei that says that I find a woman more difficult or more bitter than death. I bigava mishtoi kra. If the pasuk is literally talking about a woman, kama ra'a isha ra'a. How bad is a bad woman? Shekatu migana. That the pasuk denigrates her. I bigehenim mishtoi kra. If it's not literal, but rather figurative, and it's talking about gehinom, then, kamara isha ra'a, how bad is a bad woman? Shegeinom nim shalaba, that they compare Gehenom to a bad woman. I'm gonna bring bad evil upon you that you will not be able to escape from. The Pasuk in Yirmiyo. Amarav Nachman, amarabba, baravu azu isha ra'a ktubatam ruba. That is a woman who is difficult, bad, a wife that is untenable, but because her ktuba is so great, the person can't divorce her. So it's evil or bad that's come that you can't escape from because the escape hatch is closed. Nitanani Hashem bidei lo uchalkum. Hashem will give us over into the hands that we could not stand up to, we could not get out of. So again, a pasuk in Echa, Amar Avchista, Amar Marukba, Barchi Azu Isharak, Tubatam Ruba. The same idea of being trapped in a bad marriage. But Marova Amru, in the Eretz Yisrael, they say, Zesh Mizonotav Tuluim Bikaspo. This is an individual whose sustenance, his purchasing of food is dependent on his money. I mean, this is a person that is not self-sufficient or self-sustaining. Like we saw in the first Amud, that one should have enough land to provide for themselves and that there's bracha found there. Here's an individual who's always dependent on the price in the shuk and the availability of food. If you plant on your own, at least you have the basic sustenance on your own, and then you can buy the excess through the market. But here, if you buy everything from the market, then you're always at risk that there won't be produce there. Your children will be given over into a foreign nation. This is a stepmother, meaning that the punishment is that given over to another am doesn't necessarily literally mean to another nation, but rather that the woman will either pass away or be divorced, and then a stepmother is brought in, and your children are being brought up by this quote-unquote foreign woman. I will anger them with a foolish nation. Again, this is like a woman who is difficult or bad, and she has a great tuba, and you cannot escape from her. I will anger you with this difficult situation. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Eilu Atztukim. This doesn't refer to that, but rather refers to the Tztukim who are difficult. It says in Tehillim, Amar Naval Bilibo. The fool says in his heart, Ein Elukim, there is no God. And that's the Tztukim who say that there's really no Torah, and that the Chachamim made up much of what is found in Torah Shibbe'alpeh. And so that's as if they say, En Elukim. So that's what it means, Begoy Naval Achiseim, that I will make your lives difficult with the Tztukim, with these instigators and these problem makers. So here, Rabbi Eliezer views this as a description of the difficulties that face the Chachamim, or the nation, from the people on the inside, the Tztukim that are causing problems. Whereas Rav Chanan bar Ravo and Amar Rav say that this refers to a woman, and an insider in the sense of a wife who's very difficult. Ben Nita Tano, in a Braita we find, Goin Aval Achiseim is Elu Anshe Barbaria Anshe Martinai. This refers to the people of Barbaria, which probably refers to the Barbary coast, the Barbary pirates, the North African area on the Western Mediterranean. Anshe Martinai, which is a Roman city in North Africa called Mauritanius, which is also in North Africa around the area of Morocco. They walk around naked in the marketplace. It's probably referring to those areas were considered to be uncultured areas. We know that they were full of pirates that attacked and pirated and looted those people on the Mediterranean coast. But on top of that, there were also tribes that were found in there that were clearly uncultured and uncouth. And here they walk around basically either completely naked or almost completely naked in the shuk. There's nothing more despicable and disgusting before HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoter mishalech b'shuk arum than somebody walks around naked, doesn't have any sense of tzniut, doesn't have any sense of civility to cover themselves. And that's what it means, Begoy Naval Achisein, that these people are going to cause you anger and problems because they're going to attack. Rabbi Yochan Amar, Elu Chabarim, these are the Chabarim that are found in Bavel. Now the Chabarim are mentioned a number of places in Shas. It's actually a little bit in Yonah Diyoma that Chanukah is coming up in the Gemara in Shabbat and Bamei Madikim on Chaf Aleph Amud Bet. There the Gemara mentions about the Chavarim in Bavel, where the Shata Sakana, that they used to light the Chanukah candles not outside, but rather inside the house to hide the fire. And that is because these Chavarim worshipped the fire god, and they had a rule that no one was allowed to light a fire on their holidays to the fire god, except for in the Beit Avodah Zarah. And if you were found to light a fire in your house, or a candle in your house, then you were at risk, your life was at risk. It seems to be that this was a group of people, or a small group of people, that believed in Zoroastrianism, the good and evil and the fire god, and they came over into the area of Bavel at some point in time and caused a lot of problems for the Jews during that period of time. In general, the Jews who lived in Bavel lived a generally a good life there and were not persecuted in the way that the Jews in Eretz Yisrael were, but there were short stints where these Chabarim became more powerful or held more sway with the government, and they caused a lot of problems for the Jews. And one of those is the Shat Sakana that prevented them from lighting the Hanukkah candles, and that was what was called Shat Sakana in Bavel. There are other places that it's sometimes mentioned that they were also cannibals, but the main thing that they is focused on was this idea of good and evil, light and dark, and the idea of fire being the worship of the fire god or the light. Amrulay, the Rabbi Yochanan Atu Chavarai, the Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan got word that these chavarai came to Bavel. Shaga nafal. He bent over and fell off his chair from the worry about the Jewish community in Bavel, who is now going to be attacked by the chavarai. Amrulei mikabli shuchada. But they do accept bribes. So toritz yotiv. Then he was happy and he was able to sit back up. Meaning that they explained to him there was a problem called the chavarai, and then made him very worried about the community in Bavel. But in the same vein, they were able to be bribed, and therefore there was a way to overcome the problem. It wasn't like they were such honest and fundamental, unwavering, or faithful to their beliefs, because they could be bribed and they could have their minds changed about it, and that brought some sort of relief to Rabbi Yochanan. Gazru al gimel mipnei gimel. The gzeirot that came, seemingly here it's in Bavel because of these chavirai, came from the three sins that were committed by the people of Bavel. They were gozer to be oser shchita because of the lack of care by the individuals there of giving the matnot kuhuna, which is the zro, the chayim, and the keba. They were gozer on the bathhouses because the people in Bavel were lax about tefillah. They used to upturn or unearth the dead. Because the Jews celebrated on their holidays. Now, the question is that the people in Bavel were very religious people. Not all, but they were definitely people who kept halacha in many ways. And over here, it seems to be almost like there's a wholesale violation of what seemed to be basic halachot. So many of the Rishonim explain here that they didn't totally disregard the halachot, but they circumvented the halachot. But the matanot, instead of giving the Zoron HaChaim to the Kohen, they used to make partnerships with the Nachri in order to be poter themselves from the din of Matanot Kihuna. But the Merchtaot, they didn't do Tvilot that either were optional, or they said that it doesn't matter so much that they didn't go to the Mikveh. And in regards to Smechim B'Yom Eidan, they said they're not really worshipping Avodah Zarah, so it wasn't a problem to celebrate on their days. But each one of these is a Midah, Keneged Midah. The Gerzru al Basar, the shchita was the basar was taken away from them because they didn't give the matnot kihuna. The merchtzaot, where they got their pleasure and they bathed, those were closed down because of the tefillah. And kemechatatei shachvei, they unearthed the dead because the people were celebrating on their holidays. So on the holidays, instead of being able to celebrate now, because these individuals were unearthing the dead, the Jews were left now despondent in a difficult situation on their holidays, so they no longer could celebrate on the holidays. Now it was a difficult time for them. Shneamar vayta yad Hashem bachem v'avotechem. When Hashem comes to punish you, it's going to be with you and your forefathers. Well, how do you punish the forefathers if they're already passed away? Amar Rabbi Bashmoa zu chatutei shachvei. That is the unearthing or the uprooting of the dead. Amar mar bavon chayim meitim mitchatetim. For the sins of those that are alive, the dead are brought out of their graves. Amalei rovo the rabbo bar marik tiv. Lo ye'asfu, they will not be gathered. Velo ye'kavru, they will not be buried. The domain al pnei adamayu, they'll be like rocks strewn over the earth. Uchtiv, but it says, v'nivchar mavet michaim. But it still says there that death will be better than life. Well, if they're not getting buried and they're being strewn all over the place, why is death better than life? Amalei nivchar mavet l'rishayim. That death for the rishayim is better, shalo yechyu b'mazes, because they don't continue living in this world. Because if they keep living, they're going to sin and they're going to go deeper and deeper in Gehinom. So Mavet is better for the Rishaim than Chaim because it actually protects them and allows them not to go into the depths of Gehinom. Now, Katu B'Sefer Ben Sira. It's written in Sefer Ben Sira. Sefer Ben Sira has an interesting standing amongst the Chachamim. Sefer Ben Sira is clearly one of the Sefarim HaChitzonim, as the Gemara says it. It's not part of the canon in any way. Yet, it's quoted in the Gemara, and sometimes even quoted in the Gemara as if it is a pasuk or a katuv. So it's clear that, first of all, the Tanaim Amoraim were very familiar with the Sefer. That's number one. Number two is they held it in high esteem, although they were critical of certain aspects of it. Now, Ben Sira, or the Sefer Ben Sira, seems to be have written around the time of the Chashmu Naim, or maybe slightly earlier. So again, Minyona Dioma, coming into Chanukah time, this is a sefer that probably goes back to that period of time. It was translated later on, and then the originals were lost. One of the things that was actually brought out or reconstructed from the Gniza in Cairo by Solomon Schechter was the Sefer Ben Sirah. That was one of the important finds there, that he found certain parts of Sefer Ben Sirah that were not only about halachot or wisdom, but also parts that had poetry and literature and other things that were associated with Sefer Ben Sirah, and they were able to re-piece it together from what they found in the Cairo's Geniza, as well as other finds that they made in Eretz Yisrael, including those at Masada. So there, Gemara now is going to quote a series of statements or colloquialisms that came out, or wisdom that comes out of the Sefer Ben Sirah, that's related to what we have said until now in the Daf. And again, it looks like some of the times they're even quoting Psukim, but it's all from Sefer Ben Sirah. And that is, Isha Tova, Matana Tova Lebala. A good woman, a good wife, is a great gift to her husband. Ketiv Tova Bechek Yerlukim Tinatein. That a good woman is given into the bosom of a Yirei Elukim. Isha Ra'ah Tzarat Lebala. A bad woman or a bad wife is like having leprosy, for her husband to have leprosy. Maita kante, how do you rectify the situation? You gershena v'itrape mitzarato. Divorce her and get rid of the tzarat. Isha yafa, ashrei ba'ala. A beautiful woman, how lucky is her husband? Mispar yamav kiflayim. His days will be like double, because he'll enjoy the beauty of his wife, and all the time he spends with her will feel like it's more and more, because he'll enjoy and be satisfied with what he has. One should look askew, do not focus on an eshet chein, a woman who is a beautiful and pleasant woman, but she's married to someone else, penti lakeid b'mitzudata, because you might get caught in her trap. Al teit etzel bala limsoch imo yain v'shechar. Do not visit or spend time with her husband drinking with him. Ki b'toar isha yafa rabim hushchatu. Because in the appearance of a beautiful woman, many people have been destroyed. Vatsumim kol harugeha. And many are those that have been killed by her. Rabim hayu pitzei rochel. The iterant seller of perfumes gets beaten up all the time by the husbands of the houses that he visits. Because amargilim ledvarav irva. Because they happen to get involved in licentious behavior or extramarital behavior, because they're going around and visiting all the women in their houses, usually when the husbands are not home, and selling them perfume. Kinitzotz mavir gachelet, like a spark that lights coals, so too is the rochel that goes into these houses, the chances that he is going to get involved in improper behavior. Kikluv maleof, like a trap full of birds. Kain batehem leim mirma, so too their houses of the rochel are full of deceit, meaning that he goes around and his behavior is very suspect. Al teitzer tzarat machar. Do not worry about something that might happen tomorrow. Ki lo teida ma'ileid hayom. Because you don't even know what today is going to bring. Shema machar ba venenu. And maybe tomorrow will come, and venenu either means that you won't be around, then there's nothing to worry about, or the problem won't be there because of what happens today. Nimtza mitzter lo'olam she'en shelo. And then it turns out that you're worrying about that world that's not yours, because if you pass away today, then what you're worrying about tomorrow is not going to be relevant to you. So better to take care of what's in front of you and what needs to be done, rather than worrying or being plagued by what's going to happen in the future. Menei rabim mitoch beitcha. Don't allow the multitudes or anyone into your house. V'lo hakol tavi beitecha. Don't bring everybody back to your house. But rabim yiyu dorshei shlomecha. You should have lots of friends or people who look out for your well-being. Galei sod achad me'alef. And only reveal secrets to 1 in 1,000, because people aren't good at keeping secrets. So here are all these memorot that came from Sefer Ben Sirah, but about the idea of the goodness of a good wife, the problems with a difficult wife, as well as people that have suspicious interactions with one's wife, and therefore they should be careful of these individuals. Am Rabbi Yasi, Eim ben David ba, ad shiyuchlu kol neshamot shebeguf. The Mashiach will not come until all the souls that are in Guf will be used up. And as Rashi explains over here, Pagud Shechotzeis ben Shekinah l'Malachim, there is this curtain or this storage area that separates between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Malachim. And there, the Ruchot and Nishamot, all the spirits and souls that are going to be born from Sheish Yimei Breishit until the end of the world are there. And until Yichlu, until they're all used up, Mashiach won't come. Because there is a spirit that goes forth from before me, Unishamot anasit, and I made all of these souls. So we see that they're first of all with Hashem, and number two is that He made them all, they're all ready to go. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Merkomi, Sheino, Sekvi, Piri, Rivya, anybody who does not procreate, Kilu Shofech Damim, it's as if he's killing. Shinemar, Shofech Dam Ha'adam Ba'adam, Damo Yishafech, in the Shiva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, after Noach leaves the Teva, when Hashem is commanding him, says one who kills another individual, Damo Yishafech is deserving the death penalty, Ukti Batrei, and juxtaposed that at the Pasuk, Vatem Pruruvo, that you have to procreate. So you see there's an association between procreation and killing, which is one who doesn't procreate as if he kills. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Ki'ilu Mema'id Hadmut, it's as if he diminishes the image of God, Shinemar, because there it says, Ki B'Tzelem Elokim Asah Et Adam, that God created man in the image of God, and it says, and juxtapose it about him, Pru Ravu. So you see that Pru Ravu is associated with the image of God, and one who does procreation creates the image of God, and one who desists from procreation is diminishing the image of God. Both of them are true because of the juxtaposition in the psukim. Amrulo, the Ben Azai, they said to Ben Azai, Yeshna Ed Doresh, Benaemikayim. Some people make nice drashot, and they also act on their drashot. Naemikayim, there's some people who are, do what they're supposed to do, Benaed Doresh, and they don't have great drashas. Batana Ed Doresh, but you are someone who makes great drashas, Benaemikayim, but you don't keep what you're saying. You're saying over here, someone doesn't procreate, is a kilu shofech tamim, umayit admut, and yet, you don't do that. And Azai, implied from here, did not get married. Amar lehem ben Azai, mani aseh, what can I do? Shenafshi chashka b'torah. My soul has been drawn to Torah, married to Torah. Esher leolam shitkayim adei acherim. Other people can have the world persist and can procreate to keep the world going, to keep the mitzvah, pru revu mil'u et haaretz, to settle the earth, lo tov v'ra leshevet yitzarah, but my love, my only love is Torah, and since my love is Torah, I'm like married to Torah, and I have no room or place for a woman. Tosafot over here mentions the Gemara in Ketubot, which is not actually on the same daf, the story of Rabbi Akiva and his wife, and over there it says that Rabbi Akiva's daughter did the same thing for Ben Azai, which is that she got married to Ben Azai and sent him away to learn for many years. So over there it sounded like that he got married to Rabbi Akiva's daughter. So Tosafot reconciles the two stories by saying, Shenasa bito shel Rabbi Akiva, Begiresh, he married her and then divorced her. Or Tosafot in Ketubot mentions that he might have had Kiddushin with her, but never had Nisuin with her, that he divorced her wherever he got finished or consummated the marriage with her. But basically he went off to learn before he ever got together with his wife, and then he was so enamored with the learning that he did not want to be married, and didn't want to be involved in Olam Hazeh. Now, Ben Azai is an unusual character in this way. First of all, he's one of the four that was Nichnas to Pardes with Rabbi Akiva. He is both a Talmid and a Chaver of Rabbi Akiva, and he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. But over here he makes a statement which might have halachic ramifications, which is, Nafshi Chashka B'Torah. Someone who has no Yetzer, has no desire at all in the sense of the physical or sexual desire for a woman, because he's so connected to Torah, that might be an exception to the rule that allows a person not to get married and to just learn Torah. It's very unusual, it's very uncommon, and one shouldn't assume that they are that way. The Gemara in Brachot tells us the story of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who desisted from Pru Revu, from having children, because he saw that he would have a terrible son, Menashe. Yet, he is told by Yishayahu, a Navi, that he's going to die, he's going to fall ill and die from this, because he made a mistake. Behadi Kavshu D'Rachman Olam Aloch, that's not your problem. Your problem is to do the mitzvah of the Torah, to do Pru Revu, and not to take yourself out of this world because of what you see that's going to happen in the future. So we see there's a huge premium put on just keeping the mitzvot and even doing the most basic mitzvot like Pri Rivya and bringing up children. And it's very unusual for someone like Ben Azai to take a stand like this. And it's only for a Yechidei Skula, and it's not something that should be practiced by anyone. People do it. They are exceptions to the rule and not the rule itself. Tanya Yidach, Rabbi Lezer Omer, we have another brighter. Rabbi Lezer says, Kol Mishen Osek B'Pri Revyav, Kilo Shofech Tamim, Shnemar Shofech Tam Adam, Samech Leva Tem Pru Revu. So now we have another brighter that brings the same memory that we had before. So here we have Rabbi Eliezer, who's the same as the Rabbi Eliezer before. But then we have Rabbi Lezer and Azari Meu Kilo Mamet Admut. So here it's quoted from someone else. There we had Rabbi Yaakov, and now here we have it being Rabbi Lezer Ben Azariah, Kilo Mamet Admut. Ben Azai Omer V'chule, Amru Lola Ben Azai Yishna Doresh V'chule. The same Gemara, the same thing all over again. Just the quote here is from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the second instance rather than Rabbi Yaakov. Tana Rabbanan, Uvnucho Yomar, Shuva Hashem Revolt Alfei Yisrael. When it came to rest, it says, Shuva Hashem, come back Hashem, revolt Alfei Yisrael, to the multitudes, the tens of thousands and thousands of Klal Yisrael. Lamei Jena Shechina Shora, Apachot Mishnei Alafim, Mishnei Revolt Mishrael. That the Shechina is only Shora on 22,000 of Klal Yisrael. Hare, Shayu Yisrael, Shnei Alafim, Mishnei Revolt, Chaser Achat. If there was such a situation in which there were 22,000 Jews minus one, Vezelo Asak Bepiri Rivyon, this individual didn't get involved with Piri Yiva, didn't procreate. Lo Nimsa Zegorem L'Shechina Shetistalek Mishrael. Has this person not caused the Shechina not to be amongst Klal Yisrael? Because one more person would have made it 22,000. And because he didn't have a child, therefore now there are more 22,000 people. Abachana Namar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Chayav Mita. Not only is he kilu shofech tamim or meit and mul, but he's chayav mitah. Shneimar uvanim lo ayu lahem. Talking about Nadab and Avihu, it says that they died, and here it's a descriptive term. It's a statement. They didn't have children, but the Gemara reads it as a reason for their death. Hayu lahem banim lo meitu. Had they had children, they wouldn't have died. I mean that this is the reason that they didn't survive was because banim lo ayu lahem. Chayim amim gorem l'shchina shetistalek misrael. There's a fourth thing that the person doesn't osik b'pir rivik causes the Shechina to leave Klal Yisrael. Shenemar liot lecha lelukim, to be for you a god, ulezarecha acharecha, and to your descendants after you. And so therefore you need, in order for there to be liot lecha lelukim, you need zarecha acharecha. You need descendants to have Hashem be there. Bizman shezarecha acharecha Shechina shara. When your descendants follow after you, when you are a sik in p'ri rivya, then the Shechina rests upon you. Ein zaro acharecha, but if your children are not after you, I mean, you don't have descendants, ami shora, who then where is the Kodesh Baruch Hu and in place his presence? Al etzim ba'avanim? On wooden stones? On buildings? That's not Hashem. Hashem is shorei shechina on Klal Yisrael. And if you don't procreate, if you don't have pruvu, then there's going to be no Klal Yisrael for Hashem to be shora his shechina. And therefore, one who does not get involved in isuk apiri rivya causes the siluk of the Shechina miklal Yisrael. Okay, we're going to stop here on the top of Samach Dalet by the Mishnah.